Glory to your name, O Lord. It is said that hallelujah is the highest praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Dear eternal God, our Father, we come to you this morning, God, and we thank you and we praise you, God. Lord, we honor you for who you are, God. We ask that, God, that I would decrease that you might increase. Thank you, God, for these who are sick, with listening ears, with an open heart, God. Speak, Lord. For your servant is listening. Help us, God, to digest your word, God, that we might be overtaken by your word. We thank you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Can't get this mic together, Mike? Just go back to this one. Church, say amen. Amen, amen. Listen, I'm going to call your attention back to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. We want to take a look at the B portion of this chapter. As you know, on last week we discussed the transition between Saul and David. That God had rejected Saul based upon his disobedience, based upon his pride. And because of that, God had rejected him and has anointed King David, this shepherd boy, to be the next king of Israel. If you would, let's take a look at verse number 14. And we'll read to the end of the chapter. First Samuel 16, verse 14. It says, now the spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and the evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendants said to him, see, an evil spirit from the God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the lyre. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes on you, and you will feel better. And so Saul said to his attendants, find someone who plays well and bring him to me. One of the servants answered, I have seen the son of Jesse of Bethlehem, who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him. Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son, David, who is with the sheep. So Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them unto his son, with his son, David to Saul. And David came to Saul and entered his service, and Saul liked him very much. And David became one of his armor bearers. And then Saul sent word to Jesse, saying, allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him. And whenever the spirit from God came on Saul, David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul, and he would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. This morning, I want to take for a text, anointed, but not yet appointed. There has been some misrepresentation in today's church with regards of the anointing. We have seemingly made anointing synonymous with being talented or gifted. How many times do we hear someone who sings a song with such power and clarity, and we automatically associate it with that individual being anointed? How many times do we hear a sermon preached and the style, the sound is there? He's saying just what we want to hear. And we automatically classify him as being an anointed preacher of God. And understand that just because a person is talented, just because a person is gifted, did not necessarily make them anointed. You see, because the anointing of God usually shows up in how it affects the ones who are listening to it. You see, because it's the anointing that destroys yokes. It is the anointing that sets people free. It's the anointing that really gets to the heart of the matter. What we call anointing today is more along the lines of emotionalism, more along the lines of the entertainment. If you entertain me, then that means that you must be anointed. Never mind the fact that I leave out of here the same way that I came in here. You see, because when you're anointed, you speak to the hearts of people. People understand the waywardness of themselves, and they desire a change in their spirit. You usually, when you see an anointed person, you don't really see them, but you see the God working inside of them. You see, because anointing is not about style, but it's more about substance. It's more about what God has deposited within the preacher, within the singer, that will touch those who will hear as they proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Far too many times we're listening to people and what they say and the manner in which they say it. We're not always so concerned about what they're saying, but how they're saying it. We've been called. We've been anointed. Every Bible-believing Christian, every Christian that has been saved by the power of God, has God's anointing on their lives. In the Old Testament, and even in the text today, when it talks about Samuel anointing David, the word there for anointed is masha in the Hebrew. And what it really means, it means to smear or to pour oil upon. It was a symbolic gesture to show that God was with this individual. Here's the key about the text today. Because even though God anointed David as the next king of Israel, it still did not disturb Saul's anointing. Saul was still the anointed of God. And if you don't believe me, look at the testimony of David. When Saul was jealous of David, and he had ran him out the kingdom and was chasing him, wanting and desiring to kill him. Come on, this is the anointed of God. David had ample opportunities, as a matter of fact, two in scriptures to where he could have killed Saul. But here's his testimony. He said, how dare I touch the Lord's anointed? He said, if God will touch him, I'll let God touch him, but I'm not going to touch him. Why? Because Saul was still anointed. But understand that Saul was still, had fell out of favor with God. And that's why we see in the text that Saul has this evil spirit that's upon him. And we must deal with this gingerly because it said that it came from God. Now understand that the broader perspective in this whole text is the fact that Saul is no longer God's man, but he's still occupying the position. Understand that the power has left him, but he still has the position. Which leads me to tell you that they'll always chase position unless you got the power to go along with it. The power now is with David. Position is still in Saul's hands. The reason being is because God always, when he anoints us, there is generally a period of preparation that must take place for the position that we're going to occupy. Listen, it is believed by most scholars that David is perhaps maybe about 15 to 17 years old right now. And even though there were kings that sat upon the throne at a younger age, David is not prepared yet. David is the man that asks after God's own heart. He's not really prepared yet to take over the throne. And so here we see that God allows Saul to keep on working, even though he's fired him. And there's time that God will allow you to keep working in your position. But the Shekinah glory has left you. And it may be because you've been disobedient. It may be because you have not obeyed the commands of God. Because you become stuck in your own ways. How I want to do it. What I want to do. That was Saul's biggest problem. Didn't know how to wait on God. He did things in his own strength. And so God rejects him and he anoints a new man who, when you look at the text, right after David's anointing and his whole household knowing that he is the next king of all of Israel, it just seemed to me that David would have puffed up his chest, stuck his chest out and said, no, I'm not working in the fields anymore. I'm the next king. But it shows the heart of God in the attitude of David. Because David goes back out into the field where his preparation can continue, where his training can continue. And understand that being a shepherd is one of the best leadership positions anyone can have. Because being a shepherd is a thankless position. Being a shepherd is one of the lowest professions on the totem pole. And what it teaches us is how to trust in God. David learned a lot about trusting God in being a shepherd. He realized that there were more sheep than he had eyes. He couldn't monitor and see every sheep. But he trusted God, what God will give him insight on how to tend to the sheep. In the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus is talking about the one sheep that gets away and how the shepherd will leave the 99 and go after the one. We see that in the lives of David, in his training. One day, one of the sheep got taken by a lion. And David left the rest of the sheep and chased after the lion that he might secure the sheep back into the fold. He did that on more than one occasion. It showed courage. David learned courage. He was a warrior. because he was a shepherd protecting his daddy's sheep. And I would today the shepherds of houses that belong to God would be the same way. That we'd be willing to risk our lives to protect the sheep. To understand that the devil is out there. He's really a consuming fire. He's trying to take us out. But the shepherd stands in between the devil and the sheep. He provides protection. It requires him being courageous. Standing and trusting and believing and depending upon God. Because there are sometimes that even inside the fold, there can be some wolves inside the fold in sheep's clothing. They look like sheep. They bear like sheep. But under all of that wool, nothing but a ravenous wolf inside the fold. It takes wisdom. It takes courage, it takes bravery to be a shepherd. So here we see that God is training David to be this shepherd. And our anointing that God has given us gives us power to live in accordance to his word. Because whereas in the Old Testament, the anointing was symbolic, in the New Testament, the anointing is spiritual. It is the Holy Spirit that indwells us, that gives us the anointing to live according to God's word. And understand that every last one of you have an anointing for a reason. God has something for you to do that requires the anointing that he's given you. But most times, either we overemphasize the anointing or we neglect the anointing. There's some people in here that just don't believe that they're anointed. But you need to realize that you are anointed, that God has anointed. He's given you power to be able to do what he's called you to do. And listen, I don't know what the calling is. I don't know what, everybody's got called to the pulpit. You know that, right? But there's nonetheless a calling that God has called you to. There's some folk that you can reach, I can't reach. And God has anointed you to be able to reach them. Most of us walk around and we don't utilize that power. And I'm reminded of a man who was given as a gift a Ferrari. 500 horsepowers. But yet and still, he was not using the horsepower for what it was designed for. Instead of putting fuel in the car, he would push the car where he wanted it to go, park it, and sit against it like he had drove it up there. And you laugh at that, but that's how most of us are doing. We have this power that God has given us, and in our own strength, we're pushing it around and pretending like we got this power within us. Instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to fuel us, to give us that power that we need to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. You got the power. You just won't use it. You got the power. Your appointment is coming, but you need to be trained. And it's the anointing that trains us, that helps us, that gives us the courage, that gives us the wisdom that we need. It is the anointing that God has given us. But you keep sleeping on it. And I know that you are because I've slept on it. I've never always, not always, given in to the Holy Spirit when it comes to do what God has called me to do. That was Saul's problem. David showed a propensity to trust God no matter what. Was David a perfect man? Absolutely not. We see throughout scripture, David did some things that God was not pleased with. But God understood, David understood that God was a forgiving God. He understood that all it took was him repenting of his sin and turning to God. No matter how heinous it was, he repented of his sin and turned to God. And God, just like he did for David, he forgave him of his sin. The same way he'll forgive us of our sin. Look here, is it ironic that the moment that David is anointed king, that the text tells us in verse number 14, now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. That's what this evil spirit really is all about. Because God is not evil, neither can he do evil. God is a good God. But what constituted this evil spirit that the text talks about is the removing of God's Holy Spirit from Saul. Now Saul is really left up to doing things on his own. He does not have the aid of the Holy Spirit anymore. And so therefore, it feels like there's an evil spirit upon him, because anytime you kick God out, you invite the devil in. Anytime you kick God out and say, God, I don't want to listen to you no more, devil has a welcome invitation to come in and to be the Lord of your life. And so now, Saul is struggling under the weight of God's removing his spirit from him. And it has been characterized. And listen, if you really read the text, you'll see that Saul was not even the one that recognized it. There are sometimes when you don't even know that the Spirit of God has left the building. That the Spirit of God is no longer in this. Because the Spirit of God will never leave the individual. But some of the stuff that you're doing, no, God is not part of that. Listen, there's some churches that God is not in that mess. There's some entertainment out there. God is not in that. That's not spiritual. But it's being pushed as being something spiritual. Being pushed as being something that is of God. But according to my Bible, according to the Word of God, God is not into the entertainment business. As a matter of fact, he's never been in the entertainment business. But he's always been into life-changing business. He's always been in the salvation business. He's always been into the making changes in our lives business. So here we see Saul is being vexed by this evil spirit. And look at God. Because God now is going to bring David, the newly anointed one, in to Saul, the now rejected king of Israel, to serve him. And listen, that's what the anointing looks like. The anointing looks like that you have a spirit of servitude. You have a spirit of sacrifice. And if you don't have a spirit of servitude to which you want to serve other people, listen here, even the one that would eventually become his biggest enemy, David finds himself serving him based upon the gift in which God had given him. And that was the ability to be able to play the harp. David was a master musician. He was great with his fingers and a harp. So much that when he played in Saul's presence, the spirit would leave him. And Saul would find some relief. What kind of music are we playing? What's on your playlist? Some Bobby Womack? James Brown, Luther Vandross, What's on your playlist? We pull up your Apple Pay. What's on that? But that's of no consequence. What's on your playlist of your heart? What kind of music are you spewing out of your mouth? Are you saying things that will promote God? Or are you saying things that will promote yourself, the gift in which you got? You think it's your gift, but it's a gift that God has given you. And we would all be better served in utilizing this gift for the glory of God. What kind of life are you living? Is your life a sweet-smelling savor unto God? Is it reaching heaven and putting a smile on God's face? These are questions that we need to ask ourselves. No need to ask anybody else. Ask yourself. Evaluate yourself. Check your own self out. I don't need to judge you. No, the Bible said that if you would judge yourself, you shall not be judged. David plays a sweet sounding harp that soothes Saul. What kind of music are we playing? How will we be in a blessing to God's kingdom? Is it really about promoting ourselves? Listen here, is it about promoting this church? It ain't about promoting this church either. It's about kingdom work. It's about winning souls. That's what it's really about. I don't care nothing about filling up this church, but I care about filling up heaven. I care about preaching the gospel. I pray about you leading a life that promotes the kingdom of God. Every day of my life, that's all I want to do. I want to promote God's kingdom. I want to promote God. And that's why I'm not all over YouTube. I don't understand that. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. There's a lot of good stuff on YouTube. I mean, some good preaching. I don't want to go against that. But if it's for the wrong reason, if it's not for the glory of God, if it's not for lifting up God's kingdom, then you missed the boat on it. Here we see David, the newly anointed king, serving in the king's palace and never uttering a word that he has been anointed, never sticking out his chest like he is the next king of Israel. But he comes humbly serving King Saul. Listen here, he comes blessing him. Even though he knows that the Spirit of God has departed from him, he yet serves him. He yet honors him as being the king. And this is what God expects from us. Yes, even on folk on your job that don't know Jesus, God expects you to serve them. God expects you to be a blessing to them. God expects you to make sweet music around them. You mean even when they stab me in my back? Absolutely. You keep serving. You keep sacrificing. Because that's what the anointing is really about. It's not about jumping and shouting. It's not about running up and down. That's not what the anointing is about. Listen here. Let me tell you something. Most of the time, if not all of the time, that I have that experience, I have that encounter with God, I am in a broken state. There's nothing that's puffed up about this thing. I'm broken before God because I realize how much I really don't deserve His Holy Spirit. I don't deserve the anointing that He gives me. So I'm moved by that. I'm honored that God would even choose me to work through me. Because I realized that, God, you could have chose anybody else. I'm pretty sure David felt the same way. There were seven brothers that were higher than him. There were seven that Samuel passed by. He took the lowest. He took the one that was insignificant. As a matter of fact, he wasn't even invited to the party. So it's not about whether or not you deserve it. It comes by God's sovereignty. It comes by his sovereign will to choose who he wants to choose. It's God's doing. It's not ours. It's his doing. And we need to honor that. We need to understand that. I'm grateful. Always. To what the Lord is doing. In my life, personally. And even in the life of this church. I'm grateful. Because I realize that apart from God's working in my life, God's working in this church, we would be nothing without his anointing. Without his anointing, there is no power. Without his anointing, there is no direction. Without his anointing, there is no teaching. I cannot teach unless the anointing is on me. I can't preach unless the anointing is upon me. As a matter of fact, Jesus said it. He said that the God had anointed him to preach the gospel to the lost. That's what God has anointed us to do, is to preach the gospel to the lost, to live in accordance with his word. Hebrew word. Anointing is Masha. And it's where we get the word Messiah from. The word Messiah in the Greek actually means the anointed one. It is the one who was specifically set apart. Jesus came down set apart for a purpose. Jesus understood his purpose. Yes, he came down here as a baby. He came down here wrapped in swaddling clothes. He came down here that he might give his life for the sins of the world. And even though that Satan came against him, it still did not stop him from doing what God had anointed him to do. Because not only did Jesus preach the gospel, he is the gospel. Yes, it's the gospel message that he went from judgment hall to judgment hall. They set the stage for it. They marched him from judgment hall to judgment hall. Had never sinned a day in his life. Had never done anything that would warrant the treatment that he received. But because the anointing that was on Jesus, he pressed his way. He kept on going. Until they led him up the Via Dolorosa to a place called Calvary. The heel of the skull. And it was there that they nailed him to an old rugged cross. They nailed him in his hands. Nailed him in his feet. Put a crown of thorns on his head. They pierced him in his side. He suffered, bled, and he died for the sins of humanity. Here it is, the Messiah. The anointed one is suffering. So understand that if Jesus is suffering, we must suffer as well some things. We have that anointing. Jesus died for our sins. They buried him in a tomb. But on the third day, he rose with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. He justified us by his resurrection. And because he got up from the grave, guess what? One day I'm going to rise as well. I'm going to be with the Lord. One day I'm going to be with the Lord. But until then, I'll stay here and occupy. I'll stay here under the unction of the Holy Ghost. I'll continue to preach the gospel, live the gospel, breathe the gospel message. Till he comes again. And he is coming again. He's coming that he might set up his kingdom here on earth. Yes, he's going to set up a kingdom for 1,000 years. He'll reign here on earth. And at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is going to be bound and thrown into the lake of fire. But until then, we must continue to work, watch, and pray under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that we might be able to accomplish everything that he's called us to accomplish. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. Is there one, two, or three? Amen.
What God has for me
is there someone
is for me.
God desires
what God has
to make the difference
me.
In your life. Yes, Lord.
That he will bring me out.
Yes, Lord.
What God has for me, it is for me.
Can you say that? What God?
What God has for me, it is for me.
Yes, Lord. What God?
What God has for me, it is for me.
Yes, yes, yes.
I know without a doubt,
yes,
that he will bring me out.
You may be seated.
What God has for me, it is for me. What God has for me, it is for me. I know without a doubt that he will bring me out. What God has for me, what God has for me.
Thank you, Lord.
What God has for me, it is for me.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Again, it is a shame for us to have the power and not operate in it. You've been given a Ferrari and you're still treating it like a 10-speed bicycle. God has given you power. He said it in his word. Maybe you just don't believe the word of God. Or I don't know what's going on. And I realize that I cannot live this life without the power of God's anointing in my life. Amen. If our hearts are satisfied, let us stand. Those who desire prayer, please come down to the throne of grace. Yes, God. Amen. Let's look towards heaven. Dear eternal God, our Father, we come this morning, God. We thank you and we praise you, God. We thank you for your word, God. And God, I pray right now, Heavenly Father, Lord, that your word will not fall on deaf ears, God. That, God, it will accomplish that which is set forth. That we, as your people, might understand the often neglected power in which you've given us, Father. We've become enamored and chasing after positions that we forgot the power. So God, I'm praying right now, God, that Lord, we would benefit from the power. That it might be a blessing, God. That, Lord, we might continue the journey which you've started us on, God. Thank you so much, God, for the Holy Spirit that never leaves us. He's always present. He's always there. Even when we don't feel him, God. Because, God, we realize it's not about feeling. But, God, it's about what your word has said and has established. That you'll never leave us, nor will you ever forsake us, God. I'm praying right now, God, that, Lord, you would touch everyone under the sound of my voice, God. And God, I mean it from the bottom of my heart, God, that you will touch their very hearts, God. That, Lord, you'll take them down deep into the treasures of your word, God. That, God, you might begin to manifest in them a spirit of love, a spirit of sacrifice, God. Lord, a spirit of obedience to your word, God. We know how difficult it is, God. But how difficult is our task in comparison to your task, God? Lord, let us always be reminded of the sacrifice that you made, God. Let us always be reminded of Calvary, Lord. Lord, when we're feeling weak, when we're feeling tired, God, let us remember the fact that, God, you got no sleep before Calvary, God. And yet still you endured the most horrific death of all on Calvary, the most shameful death of all. And God, if we can just give back a portion of what you gave for us. Let it be a motivation to us. Motivate us, God, to live, to preach, to teach, to give, to bless, God, even as you have. Lord, we need it right now, God. We need it in this time in which we're living, God. But God, we don't really know what's going to happen here in the next few days, few hours, God, even few minutes, God. Because at any time, you can call our number. You can interrupt our program, God. So God, we are to always be ready, God. Got my bags packed. Because I know, God, at a moment's notice, God, it could happen. But glory to your name. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God, who take away the sins of the world, God. Glory to your name, God. We worship you in spirit and in truth, God. God, I pray right now that you remove all falsehoods, God, in your church, Heavenly Father, Lord. That you'll move every false teacher, every false prophet, every false preacher, every false pastor, God. That you might be lifted up to where you belong, God. Now bless us as we depart from this place. Let us always keep in our mind, the forefront of our mind, the mission that is at hand, Father. Help us, God. Bless us as we depart. Give us traveling mercy. Watch over us and keep us until we meet again. We bless your name, Father. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, may it rest, rule, and abide with us now, hence, and forevermore. Let every heart sing. Amen, amen, amen. Greet somebody with a holy hug. Amen.